You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
USA, USA, right? We're getting ready for the Olympics. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to RBR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Jose Mataro. Matt is not with us, unfortunately. He's kind of getting roasted in the comments right now, but a little bad. He's not here to defend himself. He's out making some money right now. Hopefully, he'll join us in a little bit. He got tied up, but he'll be back very, very soon. But guys, welcome back to the show. Joe, a lot to talk about this week still with the two big games with the Lightning right before the Olympic break. We've got the Olympics to talk about, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited to watch those. I'm sure everybody else is too. But first and foremost, Joe, how you doing today?
I mean, you kind of said it. I love the Olympics. I look forward to it, you know, every 2 years, be it the summer or winter. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to watch some of the women's hockey, which they're absolute animals out there. So that's a, you know, kind of a good warm up to what's going on with the Olympic stuff. So I'm excited to that. Definitely, you know, I'm grateful that we're going out on a high note before the break and get to recap some of those games too. So doing well. But the only thing that I'm confused about is what the heck is going on with our weather here? It's like 75 today. It was like 43. Last night and tonight. Ooh, I think I might have a relapse of getting sick from these 30-degree changes.
It's crazy. I don't know what's going on. Some New Yorker needs to come down and get their weather. It's drunk and it's on my lawn and I don't appreciate it. So, luckily, it's been at least in the 70s, so it's been somewhat better as of late. I can't deal with the 60s and 30s. That's just too cold for me. It's too cold, Joe. I live in Florida for a reason.
That's it. Oh, I do want to apologize a little bit to Matt for throwing him under the bus. You know, he got held up at work and, you know, it was late, and then he can't even defend himself when I, you know, blame it all on him.
We're going to get into it all here, though, and hopefully Matt will be able to join us in a little bit. If not, we'll see him next week. By the way, welcome everybody who's with us live here today. Drop your comments down below. The comment section already going crazy. We'll get your comments on screen here in just a little bit. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning, and subscribe on YouTube, ring the bell notifications, all that good fun stuff. So you do know when we do go live, you can join us here and join the conversation. So, all right, first thing I'm going to talk about before we get into any of the Lightning stuff and the Olympic stuff is there's some big news with Thunderbug, our mascot. Because Joe, I don't know if you know this, but when the game against, I believe it was the one against Buffalo, they had a giveaway and it was a Thunderbug bobblehead, which was his first ever bobblehead giveaway that they did of Thunderbug. So that was fun. That was cool. So Thunderbug getting his very own bobblehead.
How crazy is that? For all the years that we've had Thunderbug, he hasn't had his own bobblehead once. I don't know if you saw it at all. People are putting them up on eBay and getting like $65 for those things too.
See, now I can't get behind the people that get those things, just immediately chuck them on eBay for a ridiculous amount of price. But they are cool. You know, I think it's a bobblehead. They don't always look exactly like the targeted person, but no, they're neat. They're cool. And you know, I got to give Thunderbug a shout out, Joe, because I don't know what's going on with the Thunderbug team, because they have a whole, if anybody doesn't know, they got a whole team of people. They call them the Bug Keepers that have been with him and do content with him and are running around with him all the time. But they are doing a fantastic job this year. Thunderbug has been a true, I'm going to call him Florida Man, basically, style this year, where he is just doing all sorts of crazy stunts. He was having a blast in the stadium series. Like, they did this one little bit where he had a metal detector and he was searching for treasure on the map, and then he found a treasure chest, and then he opened it, and it said, make some noise. Like, that little bit was hilarious.
I saw him with the metal detector. I can't believe that I missed him actually hitting gold with it. That's really funny.
that. Just the little things like that were so good. He's riding that bike around. He's got that little mini bike. He rides around all the time. I was walking to a game as media, and I'm walking like on the back. And next thing I know, I hear a little mini bike and a little beep, beep, and Thunderbug rolls right by me. Just on, you know, casual day. But it's been really fun. We'll get into what he did. Actually, let's get into it now real quick.
Yeah.
The moment in the Panthers game. I mean, this was on national television, which I can't believe I'm going to say this. Shout out ESPN for showing it and having fun with it. But Thunderbug, when the Lightning had all those players in the box after the madness, which we'll get into on the fight, was literally picking up a folding chair and trying to give it to the players sitting or Gensel, who was standing in the penalty box. You know, little stuff like that, man.
Trying to help out, you know?
Yeah, trying to help. And he had the boxing gloves. He was sitting there. He was ready to go.
The boxing gloves for him to jump in on the fight. I thought that was pretty funny. And then, him trying to, you know, show that he was going to toss the chair over for the guys to be able to sit in it. That's, that's pretty quick also to have your props department. Like, they got Carrot Top in the background there just ready to load them up for the bit. I thought that was pretty quick.
Well, so they have folding chairs in that area. Like, I don't know if that was a spur. Like, did he just pick up a folding chair and just say, oh, this might be funny? I thought he was one of the players was eventually going to turn around and actually grab it and put it in the penalty box. I was waiting for that to happen, but I don't think he'd get it up that high enough safely to get it to a player.
It was definitely a funny bit and good, like you said, good on ESPN for actually being able to capture it, because I thought that their broadcasting has been absolutely atrocious with other aspects. No. But, you know, that was definitely a funny moment.
No, that wasn't. I'm glad they captured it. Quick comment here from Ben, by the way, saying Thunderbug was great for that game in the Battle of Florida with the chair and the boxing gloves. Yes, absolutely. He was fantastic. So shout out to the Thunderbug team. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. We've really been enjoying what he's been. Also, I don't know if you saw this, by the way, too. Thunderbug went into an aquarium and dove, like, was underwater. Did you see this?
I saw clips of it. I was one of those things. I didn't know if it was, I didn't put enough time into it, if it was like AI or they actually take a full on, like,
he actually went underwater and was like scuba diving in an aquarium.
That's insane. You know, those costumes cost like, I mean, I know for Disney World, they're like literally $100,000 for the Disney full-on costumes. I'm sure that Thunderbugs can't be cheap, and to actually submerge it and do something like that, that's it's a big risk. But I mean, if they pull that off, that's pretty cool.
As someone who's unfortunately been in costumes like that, getting in a water like that's not normal. I don't know how they pulled that off, but
I'm not gonna lie, that's
is what it was.
Yeah, that's pretty much like my fear, biggest fear ever, to be trapped, not like confined into a small space and drowning. That's nightmare fuel right there.
Yeah, I don't know how, at least it wasn't hot in that moment. You're probably nice and cool in the water. So you got that to go for you. But
all right, yeah, so hold on. We have to take a pause for a moment here. You've been a mascot before? I don't think that we've ever talked about that.
Well, there's a reason I don't talk about it.
You already opened the door, buddy.
Yes, I have been a mascot twice, actually. One of the places I will not say, because I may or may not still currently be there. But I was also the mascot for Chick-fil-A when I worked there as a young lad. So I was the cow every once in a while. And that was the best job because, you know, I just went out, did my thing, came back, sat in the back and had a drink and did nothing. But yes, I have been a mascot a couple of times. So
that's cool, buddy.
If they ever need me for Thunderbug to fill in, let me know. I can jump in there and do that. So anyway, all right, let's get to some Lightning hockey, because we do have some games to talk about before the break. And the Lightning, man, they have been rolling. They've been playing so good. It is unbelievable to watch this team right now. It's quite impressive. And they were taking on the Buffalo Sabres, which, you know, is a big game because, believe it or not, Buffalo sitting in a playoff spot. They're fighting for the playoffs, which is
second hottest team next to the Lightning as well.
Yeah, that's not normal for Buffalo, which good for them. You know, finally, they're able to do something here. And this was going to be a big game. And it was a battle between these two teams. And you could tell Buffalo really wanted this game. And that they have been playing really good. Lightning do get the win in overtime by a final score of 4-3. Buffalo actually looked like the better team a little bit at times. Lightning still overall, I thought, played pretty good. And then they just had a really nice end to the game. And even with Buffalo scoring on the power play late in the third period to take that 3-2 lead, we got the absolute madness and magic of Darren Radish scoring on an absolute bomb from the point to tie the game, and then Jake Guentzel winning it in overtime. I really want to talk about that overtime goal in a minute, but overall here, Joe, a crazy, fun, back-and-forth game, and the Lightning, again, going into overtime. Can we stop with that, please?
But, I mean, they have been consistently coming out of overtime or the shootout with points. That's a big thing. I remember a few years ago we had, like, I don't know, I want to say it was almost like 8 to 10 loser points, and that was a big difference. Still getting the perks, I see. And you know, it's a difference in a playoff spot, but yeah, getting, let's see, regulation only wins. I see that we're at, this can't be up to date. Is this up to date? We're at, wait, is it regulation wins? Is that 28? Regulation plus overtime. So we have nine games that we won in extra innings. Does that seem right?
Honestly, that sounds right. There's been a lot of overtime.
Wow.
As of late.
With 55 games played, you have almost, you know, was that like, I don't know, like 18% of them that you're winning in overtime, but you're still getting those points, you know, giving away some extra points to other teams. But when you're in command of the East, I guess that doesn't really matter as much. That was an incredibly fun game, though. You know, the back and forth, two really insanely hot teams. Tage Thompson is always someone that's he's just incredible to watch. And I do want to shout out to my buddy who, he did a four-way parlay, and I don't do much gambling. I kind of, I guess, vicariously, he'll post what his bets are, and, you know, I kind of live through them. So his was Vasi to have 20, it was plus 21.5 saves, so at least 22 saves, Cooch with the goal, Radish with an assist, and the Bolts to win. And the way that game went, the final save was Vasi's 22nd.
Oh, my goodness.
To then bump it up to the breakaway play for Guentzel to seal the win. So he, you know, not, he was, and he was at the game. He had box seats, luckily. And so he not only got to get the win, but he got to celebrate that one additional save. And how much fun is that?
Oh, that's amazing. No better feeling as when you're gambling like that and getting a parlay to hit just right. That's awesome. That's great. Speaking of that overtime goal, by the way, that was hilarious to me because I had just watched a video, actually, and I'm blanking on the YouTuber's name, and I apologize because I always like to shout out content creators for the work that they did. But they were breaking down the Bolts and the way they played and basically saying that the Lightning actually kind of adjust to who they're playing, right? Sometimes they're running, I think they called it like a 1-3-1 or a 1-4 or 2, you know, all these different ways to play. They do a couple of different ways. But they were talking about how they love to stretch the opposing team, and guys will know when the opposing team is changing or they're kind of hoping they can keep the puck in. One of the forwards will start to go towards that blue line, and that's how they get so many odd man rushes. And if you watch that overtime goal, Kucherov is kind of battling. The puck is kind of loose. Guentzel just leaves. He's gone. He goes all the way to the blue line and is just sitting down there. And sure enough, Kucherov gets the puck, turns around, knows Guentzel is up there because Kucherov's IQ is just unbelievable, and whips it right to Guentzel. So I saw Guentzel leave, and I said, if we get this puck, it's going to be a breakaway for Guentzel down the ice. And Guentzel's been so good at putting those in the back of the net. So that was really interesting to learn about it. Like, oh, hey, yeah, I've seen the Lightning do that. And then see them do it in that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of pretty, you know, neat strategies when you get down to it that even, you know, when I'm coaching, I try to get my players to do a weak side wing release where if you're on the weak side in the defensive zone and the defenseman our defenseman has possession without being heavily pressured, you can just go And usually that level, the D, are slow to react on the other side, so you can get some breakaway plays. Seeing it at the NHL level is nuts, because especially on a 3-on-3, they push and they lost track of a really, really dangerous player in Guentzel. And then Cooch, there's no one better. I'd say only Hedman would be able to make that pass, right? No one else is making that pass on the team. And to miss it once and then still be able to collect it and then hit him with it, that was a sweet finish, man.
So good. By the way, even though Matt is not with us, he's still helping me out in the comments here. He's 100% right, by the way. Hockey Psychology is the channel that I am referring to. So, yes. Thank you.
What is that? What does he have as his?
I don't know. I'm a little confused. I just noticed this as I pulled it up. But, man, we're going to have to talk about that. I don't know what that is.
Almost looks like Dale Earnhardt.
It looks, yeah.
I think it's Dale Earnhardt.
Ben says it's Dale. It's Dale Earnhardt. Well, there you go.
That's great.
But yes, Hockey Psychology is the channel that I was referring to. It's a really cool video, by the way. If you get some time, go check it out. It kind of breaks down how the Bolts have been playing and why they've been such a good team. One of the best in the NHL with the Colorado Avalanche. A couple other comments to hear. Ethan saying the radio call for that game was awesome. Never a doubt, Dave Mishkin, one of the best in the business. I know some people don't like him outside of the Lightning fan base, but he is fantastic. So that doesn't surprise me. Ben saying, hey, a win is a win. We talked about the regulation and overtime wins. Yes, you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, 2 points is 2 points. It only matters at a tiebreaker situation. The Lightning don't have to worry about that right now. So a win is a win for sure. But overall, Lightning get the win, get another 2 points, even having to go into overtime and that game being coming out of the wire. But they come through. And that's what good teams do. They pull through in games, and that is the big one. By the way, the Lightning 50% in the faceoff circle in this game, so they're proving a little bit. That's really nice to see. Then we have the big game, right? Right before the break, the Lightning get to take on the Florida Panthers. And the Panthers had just – they were actually on a back-to-back in this situation, and they had held out a couple of guys because of injuries, and some of those guys were going to the Olympics, and we all know how these games tend to get when the Lightning play the Panthers. It's the Battle of Florida. Everybody loves it because there's always a bunch of people in the penalty box by the end of the game, and we got just that once again. Before we get to the fighting, though, the Lightning got out in front in this game pretty early and really handled the Panthers. I mean, they were dominating this game, leading at 4-0 at 5-0 at one point until the Panthers finally did get one. Lightning win it 6-1. There were a lot of goals in this game for the Bolts. By the way, everybody who scored in this game is an Olympian, which is another really fun stat you can throw out from this one. But Bolts get the win. And then we had the madness show of the fighting, which is where you got Thunderbug trying to hand out chairs. Let me get your thoughts first overall on the game.
Brandon Hagel at it again, scoring really early to get the guys some momentum. I like the number of fans for the Panthers, if you want to call them fans, that were on X complaining, saying that, oh, well, we had, we held out all these people, so it wasn't even fair. You played mostly an AHL team. Weren't these the same people bitching and moaning that we had AHL players play against them? And
just gonna say,
they're so clueless. The Panthers, I mean, I don't even know if they're fans. I think they're literally just a whole bunch of trolls that are on a bandwagon, and they'll get off at the next stop, which will be at the end of this season. But the Lightning handled them really well. I do know that there was once again a ton of really high up executives in the building trying to prevent this from turning into some crazy game with 150 penalty minutes, had 162. and then just the way some of the stuff was called, like the Kucherov penalty still has me laughing.
The 10 minute misconduct he got after the fight, right?
Yeah, and then the memes come from online, right? Kucherov 10 minutes for running into Kachuk as he was hitting him from behind, something along those lines. And then he literally, or I think there's another one where you can, there's a picture of the fight with Hagel, and you can see Kucherov kind of laughing in the background, and he got his 10 minutes for unsportsmanlike conduct for laughing at Tkachuk getting his ass beat. There's all sorts of them, but he didn't do a single thing. They were just clearing the ice to making sure that anyone that was on the ice would sit out for a little while. But that was crazy.
There was that funny moment with the official pulling out the notepad and writing down all the penalties because there were so many. But for those that didn't see it, maybe the way that fight started, and it's funny you say this, Joe, that there were all those high-ranking officials at this game, yet. Again, the only fine that came out of this game, by the way, was on Curtis Douglas, who later in the game started a fight, was throwing punches when the other guy didn't want to fight. I'm trying to remember who it was. He's the one who started it all. But he's the only one that got fined. Even though the reason this whole scrum started was because Kucherov got hit, and then Matthew Tkachuk comes off the bench and just skates all the way back and around, takes a really weird path, and then runs right into Kucherov again.
Yeah,
for absolutely.
And he took an intentional blindside path to make sure that Kucherov didn't see him. Like what? I'm not going to use profanity in this, but man, what a, let's just say, wimpy thing to do. And the Curtis Douglas penalty was a little bit later. I think it was interference. One of the guys hit Kucherov to initiate that delayed penalty, and then it was Tkachuk. I think he even came off the bench, skated around to the blind side, and then hit him. I mean, it wasn't a major hit, but it was just one of those things that make you look at him and
blindside hit.
Yeah, and then he didn't even want to answer the bell when, you know, after I tried turtling. And, you know, maybe this is actually a kind of a good time to talk about it. Beverly mentioned in the comments are going off like crazy right now. But she was, let's see, was a little ways back saying, just can't get into the USA with Tkachuk brothers on there, no respect. Oh,
yes, I did want to talk about that.
I mean, we can kind of dip in and, you know, between both since it's topical right now. But
I 100% get it.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching this game. I had my own game, so I was at the rink, and I was watching with a bunch of other hockey players. You know, obviously we're all, you know, or most of us are from Tampa, and it's the same thing, right? It's how do you get, you know, you have half of the Lightning basically are playing for Team Canada. And then you've got these, like, I don't know, just kind of slimy players in the Tkachuk brothers that are playing for Team USA. And it's really, really hard to root for them. But you still want to root for, you know, your home country. But, man, those guys are just so unlikable.
Nico Mikola was the guy who had the original hit, by the way. And that's who Douglas later fought and got fined because Mikola didn't want to answer the bell. But yeah, you know, obviously I want
to. It's a worthy fine. You know, like a good one to take, too. You know, like $2,000 for that. He, you know, Cooch probably bought him a $2,000 dinner for it.
No, 100%. But I totally understand with Tkachuk and Team USA. You know, because obviously I'm going to root for Team USA. I want Team USA to thrive. I'm an American born citizen. Of course I'm rooting for them. But I even saw a Panthers fan say that they are sick and tired of Tkachuk and the things that he does sometimes like this. That's just a clearly dirty, unnecessary play. And it's a shame because, you know, for the game of hockey, you want to see guys make great plays. And yes, there's physicality, but not like this. This is just a clearly unnecessary, totally pointless type of hit.
Yeah. And you know, to set even more context, the night before, and I can't remember who the heck did the hit. I mean, I could probably pull it up pretty quickly, but they played Boston, and McAvoy got, you know, he got basically an elbow to an already broken jaw. Uh-oh. What's up, buddy?
We're talking about the Florida Panthers and what's going on. Matt has shown up.
I've been listening. I've been following along as best as I can for the last, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. And I do have to say, how dare you guys not immediately recognize the King Dale Earnhardt Sr. as my profile picture. How dare
did you? Did I say junior? Did I accidentally say junior?
Well, it took you a second, but you know, you must immediately recognize the King Dale Senior.
To be fair, I do have our window small. It was, you know, it shows up really small, but that, it's also a pretty random person for you to have in your to have as your avatar.
It's not random at all. I have a whole shrine at my house committed to Dale Senior. Best restrictor plate racer of all time. Anyways, back on topic, Joe, I did kind of barge in here. I'll let you finish. You're talking about the McAvoy hit.
Yeah, I'll be as succinct as possible, but it was definitely an offense that looked like it should have been worthy of a suspension. McAvoy has had several hits against other players that he did get suspended for. And at this point, you know, we can come back to McAvoy, you know, in a little bit, but at this point, I think that they probably have the most classless and sleazy coach in the NHL because he pretends to be somebody that, you know, wears a suit and tie, but then he's definitely coaching his players to do this dirty crap behind, you know, behind the play. And
players with the pucks.
So that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. You make a quote like that, and then you can clearly look at the record of what these Panther players do, and that's just as sleazy of a quote as you can get. That's as sleazy of a quote as it is what Tkachuk did to Kucherov, where it's just, I don't know, it's coming from top down.
Yeah, it really shows when you have a guy who has less than 5 career games under his belt come in and chicken wing, leave his feet, and charge Charlie McAvoy, a guy who's already wearing a bubble. I mean, that is just crazy right there. And for him to not get suspended, not get a hearing, not a fine, and the Panthers ending up with a power play after all of that, like, yes, it's hard to argue that there's no favoritism in this league. It is insane, those circumstances that led to that entire thing happening. And the craziest part about it, Charlie McAvoy, I didn't think we're going to do a Bruins show, but Charlie McAvoy posting on Twitter the video of the hit and the aftermath. You don't see NHL players doing that. Never. Like, that's very NFL or NBA of him to do, which I kind of love that he did that, because that just means these players are tired. They're sick of this. I think it was a really good message sent by McAvoy. We're all tired of this specific team. They're getting away with it. The Bruins especially, they hate the Panthers, rightfully so. And it's just, I don't know, I'm glad to see that Charlie McAvoy tweeted about it, because there's no way that didn't catch someone's attention at NHL front office.
That definitely is catching attention. It's also something that he, you know, potentially can get fined for as well. I think it makes him look like a bit of a crybaby, because he's hit so many people in ways that he has gotten suspensions for. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't like that he did it as a player, to be honest. But it is one of those things that is so blatantly obvious that it enraged, you know, like a top defenseman in the league to the point of putting himself out there like that. So, you know, again, I don't like that he actually did that. But it shows how ridiculous the whole situation is, and it's something that NHL execs have completely created, you know, due to their inactions and nepotism.
I don't think McAvoy's like a dirty player like that. Like, yeah, maybe he might have. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that at least, you know, would classify him as a dirty player. Yeah, he's made dirty plays, I'm sure, before, but I don't put him in the top 10 of like dirty players. So I don't think it's as
he's had that Boston mentality of like, break your opponent if you can, you know, been on the dirty teams that, you know, have injured players, and he has been suspended. I'm just saying that he's not somebody that's got a clean slate either, you know, but yeah, neither here nor there, I suppose.
31 of 32 teams understand the ridiculousness of this situation and how bad the Panthers are. Steve Dangle, who's a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan, as you guys know, he was talking about how he hates Boston, obviously, with everything that's going on between Boston and Toronto, but he feels bad for Boston because of what happened to them and the unbelievably clearly suspension-worthy hit, and then they do it the same type of thing the next night against the Lightning. It really, you know, people made those jokes early this season about the the Department of Player Safety is just the Panthers Department of Player Safety. But it is so true at this point, and it could not be more obvious, especially when you look at those back-to-back games of the McAvoy hit, nothing happening there, and then the Lightning game with all that happened, and so clearly, I mean, in 4K, you could see why that started and what the Panthers did, and not a single Panthers player got a fine, suspension, nothing. Matt, you said this in Discord. I saw the tweet. I believe it was from one of the Bucks beat reporters, Evan. I can't remember his name. But what was the numbers on the fines between the Panthers and the Lightning?
Over the last calendar year, technically less actually, but it's $188,000 in fines and forfeited salary by the Lightning, and $5,000. Yeah. Yeah, and there was the Aaron Ekblad 2-game suspension, which, you know, doesn't take away from salary because it was in the playoffs, but still $5,000 and 2 games from a dope user, Aaron Ekblad.
And this all basically stems from, or the justification from the Panther side, all basically stems from a puck that was 1 inch away from making a clean legal hit that Hagel did on Barkov. And Barkov didn't miss any games from it.
A non-predatory hit, by the way, either. They act like he was trying to kill him. Was it a penalty? Yes. Was it anything more than 2 minutes?
If he touched the puck, it wouldn't even have been a penalty.
Yeah, it was shoulder to shoulder. Like, I don't know, people make the argument that he left his feet. People somehow make the argument that he went for his head. But even still, like, Jake, I think either you or Michael tweeted this on the Bolt Report, but it was like, this all goes back to, I've got it right here. This all goes back to the Department of Player Safety not doing its job after the repeated headshots against Hagel, stemming from that bad hit over, you know, close to a year ago now.
Yeah, that tweet had 700 likes, so people
747, but who's counting?
And the classy fans of in Florida having signs that say kill Hagel. Mm-hmm. And so, just so everybody knows, when you leave your feet, the idea is that you leave your feet fully in order to make contact in a higher part of their body. So you should actually be off the ice before you make contact. You're launching yourself into their head. Otherwise, a lot of times when someone says that they're leaving their feet, what's happening is you're loading up, and once you make contact, you're pressing through the hit with your legs. It's, you know, kind of the difference between, you know, when you shove somebody and you start contact with them and then you extend through them. And because of that momentum, you come off the ice through the hit. That's not the same thing as leaving your feet at all. When you see people get injured, it's a lot of times someone's against the boards, somebody jumps up into them, and then the primary point of contact is like an elbow to the head. That's not what Hagel did at all for that instance. And I don't know, that the reaction and the justification is insane. I mean, I like heated rivalries. I love having a rivalry, but when you target somebody to, oh, yeah. When you target, players and try to take them out and then literally injure them, like every single time it seems that Hagel's on the ice against the Panthers, that's no longer a rivalry. That's like assault.
It's basically what it is. I do want to get to Beverage's comment because it's not funny, but it's also kind of a little funny. Saying, and now the Panthers are tanking season to get the first draft pick, and then Ethan following it up with Panthers getting McKenna is just so ironic if they do. I mean, especially if you haven't seen McKenna, who's in the news right now because he punched a guy and broke his jaw. And
is he'd fit right in on the Panthers. He'd be Paul Maurice's dream enforcer.
Luckily we have the draft lottery but could you imagine the Panthers tank and get the first
pick? They'll get it.
Oh my god.
They'll be the 10th best odds because, you know, they've got their top 10 protected pick. They'll have the 10th best odds. And just like the Islanders last year, even though they don't have the NHL in their back pocket, they'll fall forwards to first.
Listen, here's the good news. The Lightning, even with this madness, dominated this game. They won it 6-1. They got the 2 points, and the Panthers are on the outside looking in, and the Lightning are the ones who'd be going to the playoffs. And I know that's a consolation prize for everything that's going on, and you just hope that it'll get fixed at some point. But you know, at least this wasn't a situation where there was all this fighting and the Panthers still beat us. No, the Lightning took care of business and got the 2 points and got the win. By the way, in their last 20 games before the break, they are 18-1-1. That is outstanding. I mean, I don't want to compare them to the 2018-2019 team, which I won't, because they're not quite as good by the numbers standpoint. But this team is one of the best Lightning teams out there. I looked at the goal differential compared to last year to this year. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they're about, I think, a plus 30 higher than they were at this point last year.
The 5-on-5 play is...
And the power play has been doing really good as of late. So remember, the biggest issue was like, okay, we got better 5-on-5, but our power play has struggled a little bit. The power play has been really good as of late. So everything is clicking right now. And this might be one of the best teams for the Lightning in a while. They're good.
I don't think you can compare this team to the 2020. And this is what I'm getting to. I don't think you can compare those the 2019 and the 2026 teams, because the argument everyone said was they didn't face any adversity in that 2019 season. They got into the playoffs and, you know, things started to go wrong, but everything went right for them. This year, everything has gone wrong and you've still managed to succeed. They're taking vibes from what was the nickname a couple of years ago, the Tampa Bay Findaways, and doing even more with way less this year. Like, there's just way better juju, it seems like. You know, you're getting, you know, these injuries and this bad luck out of the way and still finding a way to persevere, overcome, and succeed through all of it too. So it's just a much better feeling, you know, I have in my back pocket right now on, you know, obviously revisionist history. 2019, you thought you're on top of the world, and, you know, reality hits you really quick. This year, it seems like, and, you know, three Stanley Cup Finals appearances later, they've got the experience and the know-how to succeed. Just gotta pray the Panthers don't get that second wild card spot.
And you also can look at the fact that maybe it was some of these opportunities coming up for some of the players where there were injuries that created the chances for them to, like Radish, right?
Yes.
It created the opportunity for him to be on power play one. Without that chance, maybe he doesn't, you know, his one-timer was not that accurate before. Now he consistently gets it through players, hits the net. Maybe it's just even shot selection, but you might not see him start to flourish like that. And, you know, that especially for a defense core, that's, you know, where you see the most people start to shine here. Without the injuries, maybe they don't get that chance to grow in their roles, and we continue to not be quite as deep because they're getting limited minutes. Either way, it's been one of those perfect storms where this team is like way better than if we were to look at our predictions at the beginning of the season.
I didn't know. I can't even remember what my prediction might have been, but I knew that this Atlantic division is stacked, and I didn't know how we were going to fare. I thought Toronto was going to be another world beater. I thought the Panthers were going to be exactly what they are, and just everything has kind of gone awry. You've got, you know, some mediocre teams coming in that are actually doing great, like Boston and Detroit and Montreal. All three of those teams are playing fantastic hockey right now.
I think that I did predict that Detroit and Montreal were going to have breakout years.
Really?
At the beginning of the season. I think that's the only thing that I can remember. I forgot all the ones I got wrong.
We're gonna have to go back and yeah, make what our predictions were and talk about it at some point. A couple of comments I do want to get to here as well, because, you know, you guys talk about the injuries. It makes you wonder what this team is going to look like when they are still fully healthy. If we ever get fully healthy at this point, because, geez, injury gods have not looked down on us favorably at all. But I'm excited for the trade deadline because there's a lot. JVB has got a lot of options at his disposal right now, what he can do with this team to try and make them even better. And you know he's going to make some moves because ever since the Lightning learned their lesson in 2019, they will never stand pat again at the deadline. I'm a firm believer in that. They did it once, it did not work, and they won't do it again. They've been making trades ever since. But a couple of comments here. This one from Mr. Magic saying, bring back Blake Coleman. Hey, he's been in some trade rumors as of late. It would be an interesting ploy, you know, because does he really fit in on this team? Is he a good shutdown player? I don't know. That would be an interesting one. Ben said no, Tyler Johnson.
Oh, guys, I got like a two second story about him. I've been on LinkedIn a lot recently. Tyler Johnson popped up as a possible connection.
Really?
So I guess he's, you know, he's post NHL career, and he's starting his business life off. But he's dressed in like a suit and tie, but he looks like he's about 24 years old, straight out of college, looking for his first job. I don't suggest you go and harass him on LinkedIn, but it is kind of adorable to see.
That's great. Also, Beverly said Finley certainly got an opportunity with St. Louis, which, yes, by the way, Finley did get put on waivers and did get claimed by the Blues. Unfortunately, that's going to happen. We're in a situation with the Lightning where you got so many great players and so many injuries and guys going up and down. Guys are eventually going to get claimed. So good luck to Finley in St. Louis.
And someone's saying that's where he's from. That's good for him. I'm happy for him. I know that they definitely tried to get him to work here, but that's pretty darn cool to go to the team that you grew up as a kid, you know, being a fan of. And I think where they say his father played for him.
That would make sense. I don't know off the top of my head, to be honest with you. But yeah, well, even
good
better
for him.
Play for his hometown. Absolutely. Mr. Magic also asked this here. Do you see us bringing back Ratty somewhere around 5 to 6 million? You know, I'm never good at predicting what contracts could potentially look like. It's an interesting situation though, right? Because you have, you know, JBB who talked about it and said he wasn't going to make any moves because he wanted to see how this was going to play out, potentially meaning too if Radish just didn't keep up his pace. Radish has more than kept up his pace at this point, but I almost feel like you can't, because we talked about, Joe, you had mentioned it, you know, maybe you trade him as trade bait. At this point, you got to run with them, right? I mean, the guy's playing so good, and maybe they do bring him back, but I think there's so many questions of what are you going to do with the deadline? What is the cap space really going to truly look like? It's really hard to say. If I have to give you an answer now, I hope they do. I mean, he's playing that good that he's got me bought in.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of smart of them to not negotiate during this heater that he's on, but he just keeps building and scoring and just doing everything he can to make himself more and more and more millions of dollars. And I'm kind of like, man, I wish they would have started negotiating a little bit sooner, because just the way he's playing, like, this might be actually who he is. It's been 3-4 months of this now. So, I mean, I hope they run with him. I hope they bring him back, because you can't switch it up now. Keep him on PP1.
Could you imagine if he had re-signed for, like, three a year? I mean, it'd be like finding a winning lottery ticket. You got your right-hand D that all of a sudden is, like, ranked amongst the top NHLers for offensive productivity. And, yeah, I mean, I think JBB completely has put the whole Radish conversation on the shelf for right now. You'll take it back off and dust it off and start looking at it in the off season, because right now, you know, your hands are tied, right? And the truth of the matter is, he's pretty much going to have control. Radish is going to have control of his destiny. So, you know, as much as we enjoy having right-handed defensemen, you can't pay through the nose for somebody that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How can he keep up this pace? And, you know, we've heard people talk about that. We've heard people talk about that for like Kucherov for his entire career, right? But he's not Kucherov. So I don't know.
By the way, Beverly said, I think Ratty will help us get the cup and then take the money and play closer to his mom with his dad being so sick. You know what? If that is what he does, I'm 100% okay with that, because, you know, that's his dad being sick, that's always that sucks. But if that's how that plays out, you know, hey, I'm okay with that 100%.
Also, 100% chance that if we win a cup, he's gone. 100%.
Oh yeah, especially with the cup taxes and all that. And again, you
cup
know,
tax, and he would have won it. So now you go for money.
Right. So, and you know what? I get it. I 100% get it. Would not be mad at Radish at all to do something like that. So, but hopefully that is what happens and we win the cup, because that means we won. So.
This all goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month or so ago, about having a bald right-handed defenseman who's great offensively and can't defend for his life. Kevin Shattenkirk. Who did he win the cup with in 2020? The Lightning. And he signed somewhere else afterwards. That's exactly what is going to happen. I've seen it.
Matt, there you go. Matt says, take it to the bank. I love it. All right. We do need to get to I know we have so much fun here talking about all the stuff that's going on. We still got
to. This was supposed to be a fast podcast. What happened? We're supposed to be like in and out, two games.
um, Let's get to – actually, wait. I have to get to this comment here because Ethan was screaming it at me, and he really wants to know, asking, where can I get some merch, Jake? Oh, I'm glad you asked, Ethan. You can head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdy, Sun, team-inspired merch for you guys over there. Go check it out. Links, as always, are in the description. And again, you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Help support the podcast. You get a cool T-shirt, so be sure to go check it out and pick yourself up some new merchandise. All right, three stars of the week. Did something a little bit different for this one, but you know, I think it was the right thing to do because we had a lot of guys that played really well once again. So for our number three star, it's not a person. It is actually three players, if you will. It's going to be one of the Lightning lines, and it wasn't an official line, but Cooper actually, this is a true thing. If you ask Cooper in a press conference, like what he thought about the second line, he will make you name the players on the line. He is very against the whole like first line, second line, third line thing. I think it's really funny. But anyway, our third star, Bjorkstrand, James, and Holmberg, who I believe all did play together at once. All three of those guys really showed up recently, especially Dominic James. He's been one of my favorite players this year, but they all get the third star of the week.
And this one really comes to that Panthers game. There's a whole bunch of players that were, as we discussed, sitting in the box. And all three of these guys ended up making contributions, being plus three. And see, James had an assist. Bjorkstrand with a goal and an assist. And then Holmberg with a goal and assist. And, you know, they're obviously mixing lines around. But really the reason to list these three players is depth guys that ended up contributing against a in-state rival. Love to see it, and especially, you know, with Bjorkstrand getting some more points. Obviously, we've been super critical about him this whole season, but you know, going into a nice long break, this is the sort of confidence that you need to take into it.
We're burying the lead here too. Sorry, I wasn't here for the stars list meeting, so this is coming out of left field for me. but an even strength goal from Oliver Bjorkstrand, which is the craziest thing of all. You know, he kind of was projected to be in the top six and kind of has made his way down to being a depth guy. And over the last couple of games, he's been playing really good. I think he's got two or three straight games with a goal, something like that. Whatever it is.
Somebody joked about Bjorkstrand when he hears his name mentioned in trade negotiations becoming like a prime Nikita Kucherov, because that's what he's done as of late, ever since you started hearing about some trade rumors that are possible with Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Hey, that's fine. Inflate your trade value.
And it's three straight games with a point or with a goal. And nice. In the last one, he got a goal and an assist.
You know, I really wanted him to succeed here in Tampa. I thought he was going to be a really nice fit, and he just, you know, had such a good finishing stat. That was the big thing with him. But then he kind of just fell off and couldn't find his groove. I would love to see it work, although I do think he's a high candidate to be traded at the trade deadline. Mr. Magic, by the way, asked, would you guys trade Bjorkstrand for Cole straight up? You would, Matt? I don't know if I would. I think you could get a better package deal for somebody. I don't know who, but
I don't know. To me, Bjorkstrand's kind of, he doesn't have much value. If I'm a GM right now, seeing what, you know, this season has brought with him, like Blake Coleman does have a lot of value to Calgary. He's coming off a 30 goal season like 2 years ago or something. And obviously that might've been a flash in the pan. They're both good, you know, 15 to 20 ish goal guys. But I think Blake Coleman, he's so valuable. We all saw him play and how much he became a fan favorite, how smart he is defensively, and just he can pull a rabbit out of, you know, just whenever he kind of feels like it. I think he's a much more consistent, well-rounded player. I don't know. I think Coleman makes a little bit more than Bjorkstrand, but if somebody offered me that deal, I'd take it in a heartbeat. But I'm also such a softy for Blake Coleman.
I have nothing against bringing back Blake Coleman, by the way. I love him. So I'm for it.
Just kind of a funny comment in here.
Which one are you? I mean, there's a couple. Well, Ethan's
both. Yeah, tag team between Ethan and Ben.
I'm gonna save that comment before we get to the number one star, since it plays on with that.
Sure.
I'm gonna get to that beat you guys. Because I know we got so much to talk about. We're almost running out of time here. But second star of the week, I do want to get to that. This one is going to just one person, and that's going to be Jake Guentzel, who was absolutely fantastic again this week, scoring game-winning goals in back-to-back games. By the way, he's been so, so good. 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, and was a plus one. So Jake Guentzel gets the second star of the week.
You remember when we first got him? I was hoping that we could get a nickname going for him. You guys didn't like it, but calling him Gunny. And I think now, more than ever, it's starting to get appropriate because, man, he is shooting the puck like no one else. And the amount of goals that he's scoring and clutch overtime or shootout performances, I mean, he scored in the Buffalo Sabres game to win the game. He scored against Boston to win the game. I'm looking to see which goal he got for the Lightning. It was the third goal, so it wasn't quite the game-winning goal for the Panthers, but against the Panthers, yeah. But he's become so clutch, and I mean, just a two-way player. Man, I mean, what's not to love about this guy?
And the fact, you know, we've brought it up before, you know, in relief moments, but with Anthony Cirelli being out, being a penalty killer, and not only being a penalty killer, being a center as well. Like, he's, you know, listed as a winger, doesn't often play center, but he's being forced to play center with the list of injuries that we have right now, and he's doing it and being rewarded for it. He's playing great. It's not easy to make that transition from wing to center. He's a little bit of a hybrid, but definitely a winger more than a center. So the fact that he's flourishing doing that as well, he can play with literally anyone. Like, he's a line driver. No matter who you pair him with, it seems like he's got chemistry with everyone. And again,
he's smart.
He is. He's so smart. He's such a weird archetype of a player because you can't really, you know, fit him into any category. He's not really a sniper. He's not really a playmaker. He's not a grinder. He's just a little bit of everything. He's got a great shot. He plays great defensively. He's one of the best deflection and tippers in the game, and just a little bit of everything. And you can't ask much more for a player like that. God, I love Jake Guentzel. Gunny's not going to work, by the way.
Gunny should stick. Gunny should stick.
Ben, I see your suggestion for a nickname in there too. No, we're not doing that.
Wait, honestly,
you guys gotta go look. But no, that's I'm against that. All right, before we get to our first star of the week, we do have to get to Ethan's. Before we get to our first star of the week, let's get to Ethan's comment here, saying first star of the week is the Kings GM for getting Panarin for nothing when I actually thought the Lightning were going to get him. Yeah, you know what, Ethan? You're 100% right, because, boy, listen, I know the prospect that they got was a solid piece, but, man, that's it for Panarin? Oh, boy, I was shocked. And I was also really shocked to learn Panarin only wanted to go to the Kings. I don't know if you guys saw those reports, because wasn't he talking about, like, he wanted to go to a cup contender, which L.A.
They're not going to make
the playoffs, but they couldn't. They're not like a cup contender, if you know what I mean. And he wanted to be on the East Coast and all these things, and then he goes to L.A., almost out of left field.
Well, I mean, he was in charge of his – or in control of his destiny. So probably what happened is he talked to the teams that that were in – that's funny. He talked to the teams that would possibly be trade targets, and if you saw, as soon as he went to the Kings, they structured a new deal for him, and he re-signed with them immediately. So the rumor is that basically when it came to the Lightning, there wasn't a deal on the table that was going to be as good as what happened with the Kings. And in terms of the Rangers, they basically had their hands tied in terms of what they could do. So better get something rather than nothing in the offseason.
Supposedly, there were only two teams that were willing to offer him like a deal. They're like offered him like an actual deal, like Chris Drury and the Rangers. They gave permission. You could negotiate with him. We're not re-signing him. Tamper with him, essentially. And apparently Seattle offered him $14 million a year. And no, that's not going to happen. Yeah, Seattle offered him $14 million a year. I'm not sure what the term was on it, but a no state tax state for $3 million more than what you got. It definitely wasn't about the money. It was definitely about, again, you know, playing in a place you want to play. You know, these Russians, they love to go retire and play their latter years in the sun where it's nice and warm with some of their buddies. I know he's friends with Andre Kuzmenko over in LA. You think back to Ilya Kovalchuk making his return to the NHL, choosing LA. LA kind of does attract these skilled Russian wingers.
And it's also a huge market, which he's used to in New York. And, you know, those are the two, battling cities in terms of that sort of vibe going New York City versus LA. So, I mean, I can see that too being more of his fit.
And he also started his career in Chicago as well, a pretty big, hockey market and just a giant metro city as well, too.
That he was on Chicago. It totally slips my mind. By the way, the funniest thing with Panarin going to L.A. Was that he wants to wear 72, and that is the mascot's number. Bailey, the lion, which is very funny. And then he posted a picture of him with bread on the phone, said, I'm listening.
I love that one.
And it's hilarious. But by the way, I know a lot of Lightning fans did want Panarin, and obviously that would have been a lot of fun. Would he have been the perfect fit on this type of team? I don't know. That's up for debate, but that's for a whole nother show. We'll have a lot to talk about the trade deadline and what the Lightning actually do end up doing here. Let's get to
real number one.
What's that?
The real number one now.
The real number one. To our number one star of the week. This is not going to take long. I know this for a fact because you guessed it. It's Nikita Kucherov. The guy is just unbelievable, man. He really, truly is unbelievable, the things he is able to do. Here's his stat line. You ready for this? 2 goals, 7 assists for 9 total points, and was a +3. I mean, I'm at a loss for words.
Was that in 2 games?
That's including the Boston game. But having 2 back-to-back 4-point games is insane. And right now, you're looking at if you're looking at the stats, he is only 5 points behind Connor McDavid. He's 2 points behind Nathan MacKinnon, which. I mean, if you want to start predicting the future, somebody's going to be able to kind of rest and just get some practice in, and two other guys might be playing their hearts out for the next 2 weeks and come back tired. What he's doing with fewer games played is absolutely – it's I think he's on pace by games played, because he's missed some games for, like, his best season in terms of points per game. It's crazy. He's got 7 less games played than Connor McDavid.
He's only 5 points behind. I saw a crazy conspiracy theory about why he got that 10-minute misconduct. It's because the NHL wants Connor McDavid to get another Art Ross Trophy, and Nikita Kucherov was
less ice time.
A little too fast. There's a power play coming, so throw him in the box. We can't let him catch up that quick, that easy. But, man, it's going to look so funny in 20 years when you're looking back at, Connor McDavid seasons, and, he led the league here. Oh, Nikita Kucherov here. Like, it's going to look so funny on a sheet when you also think back to Gretzky. It was Gretzky, Lemieux. He's going to be in the all-time GOAT conversation, whether you like it or not. I think by the time his career is over, some people probably might not agree with that, but, man, like, the points will and do speak for themselves right now.
In that same thread, anyone watching the Lightning, don't take that for granted. You are watching some of the best hockey that you will ever see from your hometown. It's inevitable that there will be dry spells. Every single team gets them. We are in one of the greatest timelines ever when it comes to hockey in Tampa Bay. So really, really enjoy it. Take it all in, because we have been spoiled for the better part of a decade, and it has been absolutely amazing. The fact that it's still going has potential to go, much further. We are so, so blessed to have a team like this in our backyard.
I could have said any better myself, Joe. You are 100% right. It's unbelievable to watch. And if you get the chance, especially do it in person, just watch Kucherov. Don't even watch the puck. Watch Kucherov and what he's able to do when he's on the ice, because it is truly, truly special. Beverly makes a great point here too. We're taking a lot of hardware home this year. I sure hope so, because the Lightning have been screwed at a lot of different awards that they should have gotten. By the way, Ben said he would argue for Vasi for first star, which is a very fair point. Vasilevsky was again playing very, very good. He's back to his Vezina form. He's been so, so good. But Kucherov, by the way, Matt, I had the points wrong. In the two games, it was 1 goal, 4 assists for 5 points and was a plus two, which is still ridiculous. But
you know what's ridiculous? The NHL keeping him off the their Stars of the Week list too, because I think he had the most points this week as well. And I think they just got tired of putting him on their Stars of the Week list. And I don't think we could ever get tired of it.
Yeah. I'm not getting tired of it. That's for darn sure. All right, let's look ahead here for the Bolts. Well, there's nothing to look ahead for the Bolts because it is the Olympic break. 3 weeks with no Lightning hockey. Oh, that's just terrible saying it again. Luckily, if you're ever getting sad and missing Lightning hockey, just go watch some highlights of the Stadium Series game, because that's what I've been doing for the past 4 days. By the way, the Lightning dropped the NHL put out a mic'd up video of all the mic'd up people during the game. And there are a couple of clips of Cooper talking in the locker room with his ensemble. It's pretty funny. Go check it out. But coming up here for Bolts that are going to be at the Olympics, the men's tournament, the women's tournament is already underway, kind of alluded to earlier, but the men's tournament will start on Wednesday, February 11th. Those games kicking off at 10:40 a.m. You have Slovakia and Finland, Sweden and Italy playing in those games. On Thursday, you will have the USA play their first game, and that is at 3:10 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be on USA, SN, and CBC. I don't know what SN is, to be honest.
Sportsnet Canada.
Sportsnet. Okay, there you go. Thank you, Matt. So the tournament kicking off here in just a couple of days, and the Bolts are all over the place. Even with Point and Sorelli no longer participating with Team Canada, the Lightning have a player on just about every team. It's actually pretty impressive. So there's a lot of Bolts representation in these games, and I'm really excited to watch them play. Now, of course, number one, don't get hurt. Please, but no injuries already to deal with. But
didn't Chernock get an A?
Yes, he did.
He did. So there's a couple of captains that we or alternate captains for the Lightning that just came out. I'm going to pull it up real quick because we tweeted
it out. While you're pulling it up, I mean, the two teams I'm going to be following most closely, obviously, are going to be U.S. and Canada. And a nod to Sweden, because those, you know, besides just Hedman, those are usually the three teams that end up making it deep into the tournament. So the first game for Canada is also on Thursday, and these are all preliminary games with the round robin style. So it'll basically determine seeding. A couple of teams will get knocked out and not make the actual bracketed games, but it certainly won't be for those big three.
I'm going to be following Team Russia.
Easy to get updates on that.
True. Here are the captains that were announced recently here for the Lightning. Victor Hedman has been named an assistant captain of Team Sweden. And then Eric Chernak has been named an assistant captain for Team Slovakia for the 2026 Olympics. So congratulations to both of those guys on being named alternate captains. I saw a lot of people saying, by the way, that Matthews was a captain for USA and saying, like, yeah, guys like Jake Guentzel that could have been even an alternate captain or some point, but that's here, neither here nor there.
Oh, I was about to ask, did USA release their alternate captains yet?
Yes, so it is. Oh, I just had it. You have
Captain Tommy Ache.
Here it is. So Charlie McAvoy and Matthew Tkachuk are alternate captains for the USA.
God,
and
this is the worst leadership group.
You have Austin Matthews as the captain. I've seen a lot of complaints about Team USA's leadership, which...
I don't like any of them.
USA, though.
You're muted. Joe, you're muted.
Thank you. We were talking earlier how, yeah, it's USA all the way, but God, it's going to be painful rooting for some of these guys to do well and be heroes in a on a national scale.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not going to be. I'll cheer for a Matthew Tkachuk goal reluctantly, but it does make cheering against Canada a little bit easier now that Point and Sorelli aren't going to make it. But still, you know, you got to cheer for Cooper and Hagel a little bit. You know, silver medal, you know, that's pretty good too. But yeah, USA all the way, even if it means I got to cheer for an Auston Matthews goal.
I will say it's really easy to cheer for Team USA women's. I mean, watch some of those games. They're both Canada and the U.S. are absolute powerhouses. They won, I think both of them won 5-0 or maybe 5-1 today in their round robins. It women's hockey is insane. It's so fast-paced. They don't allow full-on checking, but it's not non-contact. So they're playing each other really hard. Actually reminds me a lot of the game that, you know, I see on the ice, you know, playing, because no one's as big as the NHL players in the games that I'm playing. You know, it's a lot more about, you know, a little bit more finesse than it is being able to be a big power body. But they're so fast and they set up incredible plays and they work so hard and there's no complaining, right? Like they get out there and really play hard and fight for their team. So that's one of those sports that, you know, is definitely worth checking out if you haven't yet.
No, women's hockey, it's a good time. It's one of the, it's kind of like soccer where you can almost make an argument that it's better than the men's.
Completely agree.
In a certain way. You know, you said it best, finesse. And the players just look quicker. They probably are quicker, just speedier. There's a lot more just, you know, fun, interesting, unique stuff in the women's game. So I'm having a good time watching it right now.
By the way, for the women's team too, like Hillary Knight tied the record for most Olympic gold at 14. I don't know if she broke it in the next game. I'm trying to look that up.
She'll easily break it in this Olympics, so easily.
At some point, but you know, so yeah, the women's team is really, really, really good, and that'll be. I don't think they've played Canada yet at any point, so because USA is undefeated right now in their run right now, so that's been really fun to watch. But lots of Olympic hockey to watch and talk about. We'll be breaking it down over the next couple of weeks here too, since we do not have any Lightning hockey to talk about. So it's going to be fun. Make sure you subscribe, ring that bell for notifications, follow us on social media. Joe, do you have something to add before we?
Well, I was just going to say, if you know. If you, anybody, you know, another sport on ice has watched mixed doubles curling,
yeah.
The U.S. is playing for gold, and I was, you know, as casually, what's that?
Do we know when the gold medal game is?
Can look it up, you know, real quick. I think it's at like noon or something tomorrow, but it is really fun to watch. I was, you know, rooting for both Team Italy and USA, which they played each other to determine who was going to the gold medal round today. And some of the shots that both of those teams were making were incredible, absolutely incredible. But yeah, let me pull it up and see where it is here.
Yeah, I'm trying to look myself, but it's hard to, the Olympic stuff is kind of hard to find, but Joe will find it for us. Also here, Daniel said for women's ice hockey, USA versus Canada is tomorrow. So there you go. Put that one on your calendars. That should be a thing.
So it's tomorrow at noon for curling, and let's see when the women's is.
The time the women's game. I would imagine that's got to be a pretty. I don't want to say prime time because it's in Italy, but that's got to be a later game. I would have to guess because that's probably a pretty big matchup. Obviously, two of the best teams.
Yeah, that one's a little bit harder for me to pull up for some reason.
Either way, there's going to be some great events coming up. We'll be covering it all here on the channel. Again, follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. Thank
2
you,
o'clock.
Everybody. It's 2 o'clock. There you go. Thank you, everybody, for joining with us. Excuse me. I can't talk anymore. Thank you, everybody, who's been joining with us live and joining the conversation. Really appreciate all of you guys jumping in here. But with that said, that's going to do it for this episode. And as always, go Bolts. And this time,
go USA.
Go USA.
Very nice.
USA.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.